You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Hello, it's great to be with you all this morning. It's a beautiful sunny day. I'm very excited about that. Warm weather's coming. Again, my name is Natalie. I'm a pastor here at the church. It's always great to be together and start our weeks this way. Welcome to everyone on the live stream. I'm glad you could tune in and engage with us in that way this morning. Well, we are in a series on the famous last words from Jesus. We're going to continue working our way through the book of John this morning in chapter 17. It's a beautiful part of scripture, a prayer Jesus prayed that has really big implications for us. We have an inside look at the way that he is engaging with the Father. I mean, it's this very intimate and intentional prayer that Jesus prayed at the end of his life and in the end of his time on earth. Have you ever been in a room with someone who knew they were living in their final days here on earth? There's something about our last moments that carry so much weight. It's these moments where people realize what really matters, right? And life gets kind of put into perspective. I think we can be afraid of death because it seems a little scary, but as Jeff talked about last week, the death of Jesus brought glory to the Father, and we probably need to pay attention to it a little bit more than we do. Now, I know it's not like the most exciting way to start in a heavy conversation this morning, but if you put yourself in that place for just a little bit, if you can go there, your heart and your life perspective will change. As a pastor, I spend time with people in their last days a lot, and they almost always talk about the ones that they love and care about. And Jesus, he was the same. Jesus talked about and prayed for his disciples. He talked about and prayed for you. In Jesus' final days on earth, he was thinking about you, and he was thinking about me. And his heart was beating for you. His prayers were for you. His life is for you. He laid everything down for you, and he prayed for you. How humbling. How humbling it is. Well, we're going to take a look at the scripture passage for this morning as Jesus continues to pray to the Father. Again, this is his prayer to the Father. I'm going to be reading from John 17, verses 13 through 19. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you send me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. Jesus prayed for you. In this prayer, he's basically saying, I've shared what I've needed to share on my time on earth. You have everything that you need to be filled with my joy. I'm covering you with my protection as you continue on the journey. And as you follow me, you will be sanctified and made holy as I am holy. I'm going to teach you, and you will have what you need if you continue to seek me and follow me. This prayer has everything that we need. He has everything that we need. I mean, think about all of the things that he prayed for. Who doesn't want to be filled with the joy of the Lord? Who doesn't want to be protected from the evil one, be made holy, walk in confidence, or be sent into the world with the very Spirit of Christ leading the way? You can have faith in these things showing up in your life because this is a prayer that is straight from Jesus. If Jesus prayed it, God will provide it. My hope for you and my hope for our church this morning is that as we get closer to Easter and we study the scriptures leading up to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we would experience his heart for us, that we would be a church that knows the glory of the Lord in our lives, so much so that his joy would overflow into the world around us. What if we were a church known for our great joy in the Lord? Maybe you're here and you're exploring what a life with Jesus would look like. Every Sunday at the Vineyard, we're going to create space. We always create space for people to give their life to Jesus for the very first time. My life has been changed by Jesus. So many people in this room, their lives have been changed by the transforming power of Jesus in their lives. So as a church, we are always going to create room for people to make that decision for the very first time. If this is something that you're wanting to do today, then later in our service, I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me, and you can start following Jesus today. So pay attention to your heart, and maybe today is your day. But as we look at the scriptures, there are four things that I want to highlight and draw attention to this morning. Four specific things that Jesus prayed for you and for me that come directly from this passage. The first thing that Jesus prayed for us is that we would be filled with his joy. That is really good news. I love that. Look at verses 13 and 14. Now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world so that they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word. Again, Jesus has the ability to say, I've done the work that I needed to do. I've done the work that I came here to do. They know your word. I have taught them what they need to know so that they would be filled with my joy. And he didn't say that, well, maybe they would kind of be filled with my joy. He said, so that they would be filled with my joy. With his joy, he came to fill you with his joy. So how can we be filled with joy from Jesus? We need to get to know Jesus. We need to study the teachings of Jesus. We need to pick up the Bible and read it. We have a gift right in front of us that is so accessible. And that's not the case everywhere in the world, but we have the gift of Scripture in our life, the living Word of God. Know the stories, know Jesus, and be filled with joy. I haven't really met anyone who doesn't want more joy from the Lord in their life, right? I'm desperately want to be filled with his joy. And somehow, Jesus, he connects the things that he taught with joy. So that means that as you read his stories, as you get to know his truth through the scriptures, and even as you hear messages at church, it's possible to experience joy. In fact, if our messages are making you feel a little lousy, we're probably not doing it right. I mean, it doesn't mean that we're not going to say hard things, okay? But the general result is that you would be lifted up in your faith. But it also means that you can read scriptures for yourself and experience the joy of the Lord. As I was studying and preparing for this morning, I started thinking about places that I'd seen or experienced the joy of Jesus. I was thinking about times where joy really carried us through. I was reminded of when our son was diagnosed with a severe bleeding disorder. He was 5 at the time. This was during our first year here at the church here in Colorado. And I can still remember the feeling that I got when I received that call from Children's Hospital with test results and them saying, hey, you need to come down here today. And we rearranged our schedule. We dropped everything. We drove down to Denver as a family, not really knowing what to expect. I remember being overwhelmed and once we got there, we were hearing from so many different doctors and nurses. It was just kind of a land blast of information. I mean, some of you have been in a room with lots of doctors getting bad news, and it is overwhelming. There's so much information so quickly, and most of it is just not fun to hear. That was exactly us in that place. We spent a lot of time down at Children's Hospital during that first year of our son's diagnosis, but in the midst of all of the new information and life changes that we needed to make, we learned to make the best of it, even though it was a pretty hard journey for our family. Our kids still remember having a lot of fun, actually, down at the hospital in Denver. One time we went into the doctor's office, and it was like they were kind of all just waiting for us. They had questions for us, but it wasn't about the bleeding disorder, and it wasn't about the hundreds of shots and all the medicine that we needed. It was about our attitude. It was about something that they saw in us that they just couldn't understand. It was about our joy. They really didn't understand. They could not understand how we could go through all the things we went through and show up enjoying our lives. They couldn't put it together. They definitely saw tears and pain in the midst of us processing all of this new information, but they saw the joy of the Lord in our lives, so much so that they started asking about it. And so obviously we just started sharing about Jesus. We started talking about our faith. We had so many beautiful conversations there. Having the joy of Jesus in your life, it doesn't mean that you ignore pain. But when you have that joy in your life, you can move through pain in a way that is different from the world around you, and people will notice it. When we got that call to go down to the hospital, our first response was to pray and to look to Jesus. We know the joy of the Lord in our lives and what he is capable of, and we trust him on the journey, and this changes how we move through life. Jesus carried us, and he is still carrying us on this journey. Get to know Jesus and be filled with his joy. Prioritize studying the scriptures, especially the life and teachings of Jesus. If you don't know where to start when it comes to studying the Bible, I want to encourage you to open up to the book of John. That's where we are at, what we've been in right now during this series. You will get to know Jesus in a more profound way. Another way to study the scripture would be to download the Bible app. You can find a link to the Bible app in the sermon notes on the weekly. The entire Bible is on there. All the languages, it's got everything. I mean, there's an unending amount of things that you can get on there to help you study scripture. For me, just out of curiosity, I timed how long it took to listen to John, because you can click play and listen to the audio Bible. I was like, how long does it take to listen to John 17, what we're in right now? It took 3 minutes and 20 seconds to listen to the entire chapter. I mean, it's easy to fit that into my daily rhythms. And even you could even listen to it multiple times a day. Do you have 3 minutes and 20 seconds in your day to listen to the Bible? Maybe you listen to it 3 times in a day. That means it will take you 10 minutes. But I bet most of us, we have 10 minutes that we can set aside. We have an invitation. We have an invitation to build rhythms in our life to be filled with the joy of Jesus. The second thing that he prayed for is that you would have protection. Take a look at verses 15 and 16. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. As a follower of Jesus, you might feel a little out of place in this world, and he knows that. This isn't a surprise to Jesus. But in the midst of that, he prayed that you would be protected. You can be in the world and still have a faith-filled life with Jesus, in him. I know I've definitely felt out of place at times because of my faith. Not only have I felt out of place, but I'm also raising kids who are navigating their faith journey in the world, and I desperately want God to protect my kids. I want to pray for them like Jesus prayed for them, and that means to pray for protection. That God would not take them from the world, but protect them, to protect their hearts, and that their spiritual connection would thrive and not be quenched by the world around them. Parents, you are acting like Jesus when you pray for your children, because they're your first disciples. They are the disciples that you'll spend the most time with. Another takeaway from this prayer that you could implement in your parenting, Jesus, he didn't need to pray this prayer out loud, but he did, so that we could know his relationship with the Father and we could know his heart for us. Pray out loud in front of your kids, and this will teach them to pray, and they will have a beautiful understanding of your heart for them. It's so interesting that he said, I'm not asking you to take them out of this world. We're not meant to run and hide from the world. We are kept in the world for a reason and with great intention. It's very possible to be in the world but not be like the world. Jesus, he has covered us in prayer so our faith would be protected from evil. Now, maybe you're here and you're following Jesus and you've surrendered your life to him and you are in a tough spot. Maybe you feel like the world is out to get you, and it just is really hard right now. I want to encourage you this morning and say that you are in the right place. Come and be in spiritual community so that we can lift you up in prayer. We can sing over you, and you can be reminded of the gospel of Jesus Christ over and over and over again. We were never made to walk this journey alone. He prayed for joy. He's prayed for protection. And the next thing he prayed for is holiness. So we made our way to verse 17. Let's look at that again. Jesus prayed this. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. The scripture says it again. Teach them your word. He says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Jesus is once again emphasizing the word of God. Just like I said earlier, reading the Bible is vital to your walk with God. It's not just something pastors say. Jesus said it, and it's important for your walk. And I bet we're all more alike than we realize. There are definitely times where I'm reading the Bible, and I don't feel changed afterwards. The words don't pierce my heart every single time. And as a mom, there have been entire seasons where reading scripture has been easier than others. I remember when our kids were babies, and I'd plan to get up in the morning before they'd wake up to read and pray. And waking up, it always seemed to work for like a couple weeks, right? And then they would get up earlier, and my alone time was lost. It's not like I was bummed that they were awake. I never thought the kids were stealing my time. It just meant for a few years, I was always adjusting. I was always tweaking, and I was always finding space so that I could focus on God's word and my prayer life alone. There were seasons where I needed the audio Bible. I needed to just hit play and listen. Seasons where my spiritual disciplines had to change, and seasons where it felt like I fell asleep every time I picked up the Bible, every time I tried reading anything. But my pursuit never wavered. I always wanted to find time to be with God. This is part of the journey. Above all else, it's just important. It's just important to spend time with God and to be in his word. He is gracious and kind, and as I read, he is making me holy. I don't need to be holy before I know his truth. It is by his truth that I am being transformed from the inside out. As I've learned to trust in Jesus and trust in his word, even if I don't see it in the moment, I can reflect back and I can be reminded of how God has been changing me and shaping me and growing my heart. We are made holy by his truth. Let the word of God transform you. Here's an interesting stat for you. Less than 30% of Christians will read through the entire Bible over their lifetime. And most Christians, 82% in total, only read their Bibles on Sundays while in church. Now, I promise you, we will read the Bible at the Vineyard. And at the church is necessary. It's needed. Jesus taught us a lot about the need for being in spiritual community. We just talked about that. But we all have to take personal ownership for our walk with God. As a church, we are here to support you and to lift you up, to teach you, to point you to Jesus. And we'll be there for you if you have any pastoral needs. But you have a part to play. You have a part to play in this. You're the one that decides to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. You're the one who can memorize scripture for yourself. You're the one that can read and study and pray and get to know Jesus personally. He prayed that you would be made holy by his truth. Prioritize reading the Bible and knowing Jesus because this allows him to transform you from the inside out. The fourth and the last thing that Jesus prayed for was that we would be sent into the world. Look at verse 18. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Your salvation isn't just for yourself. He didn't come to dwell among us for himself. He came so that we might live and have life everlasting. He was sent, and he is sending us as well. If you ever wonder if God wants you to share the message of his love with your neighbor, with a coworker, family member, friend, classmate, let me read this passage for you again. I mean, Jesus is literally sending you today into the world to make a difference. It says in verse 18, just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. Jesus, he left the comfort and beauty of heaven, and he went into a messy world. Church is nice and important. We sing good songs. We pray for one another, right? There's even Bindle coffee out there. And if you don't like that, you can get Starbucks, which is really great. What a deal. Your personal devotion time is good. Your small group is good. Church is good and important. But also, you need to leave those comfortable places and go into the world sent by God. Imagine what could happen if we allowed Jesus to fill us with his joy, his truth, his protection and holiness so that we could confidently and courageously leave this place and go into the world as a change agent for the gospel. Imagine if we could be known as a sending church and a sent people. If you embrace this truth, how might you start living differently? As I close, I remember back to our son's diagnosis. And as hard as it was to find out about the complications, we kept our focus on the Lord, and he filled us with joy, so much joy. He protected our faith as we went through that hard season. And rather than getting discouraged and feeling hopeless, he protected us, and our faith grew stronger. He was making us holy through his word. We saw and experienced the miracles he prayed for in our lives, and as he sent us into the world to testify about the goodness of God, we experienced him move through us. Part of this took place, it was because of our spiritual disciplines and community and church family, but a lot of this took place because we knew that Jesus had prayed for us. You've been prayed for by Jesus Christ himself. He came for you. He loves you. In his final hours of life, he was thinking about you and me, and this changes everything. Jesus prayed for you. Get to know him. Get to know Jesus and receive all that he has for you as he sends you into the world. Let's pray.